Welcome back. 1244 at 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times, and I'm joined now by Washington Times White House reporter Ben Wolfgang. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Mr. Parks. How you doing?
Doing just fine. Hillary's new book, the focus of your story in today's Washington Times. The book is called Hard Choices. It's getting lots of publicity. Not all of it good, right?
It's certainly not. I mean, it's been a little bit of a sloppy rollout, I think, to say the least. I mean, mainly because of this claim that, you know, everybody knows about now from Monday's interview with ABC News, where Hillary said that she was dead broke, her and her husband were dead broke, coming out of the White House and millions of dollars in debt. And as an aside, let's not forget exactly why they were millions of dollars in debt and why Bill Clinton had to hire all of those attorneys while he was still president of the United States. But, you know, and people kind of look at her sideways a little bit and scratch their heads and said, you guys are worth $100 million to $200 million, and you're talking about being broke. So that sort of overshadowed, I think, a lot of what she thought would be a very successful rollout of her book as she sort of, you know, reintroduces herself to the American people and presumably gets ready to run for president for a second time. But some of, you know, the claim about being broke, and then that's sort of, I think, the precursor to a lot of attention that's going to be paid to her record as Secretary of State. I mean, she means this book to be a very fierce defense of her time as a Secretary of State, but she herself has struggled to come up with examples of, you know, specific successes that she was able to have as a Secretary of State. So I think this book is just going to open up a whole new line of attack on that front as well. So I think it's fair to say that the first couple days of this book tour probably haven't gone as smoothly as Mrs. Clinton would like.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned defending herself and her role as Secretary of State, but I can tell you that what I've seen so far out of this book is that she puts the blame on Obama. He's the guy who has had the foreign policy missteps, and she kind of distances herself from that.
Well, especially on Benghazi.
What
I've seen about her explanation for Benghazi, she says, on one hand, she says, I take full responsibility for the attack there, the fact that four Americans lost their lives in Benghazi, but then essentially says, on the other hand, I had nothing to do with it, and there was nothing I could have done about it. I wasn't making decisions about security, you know, go blame somebody else, and of course that somebody else is going to turn out to be President Obama. So you're right. It is kind of a strange line I think she's trying to walk here. She wants to take credit for the good, whatever that might be in her eyes, and sort of show some gravitas that she was in charge and was the Secretary of State. But on the other hand, there were a lot of foreign policy problems over the past 4 or 5 years that she could be very closely tied to. So I think she's trying to distance herself from those. So I'm not sure how much success she's going to be able to have in doing that, quite frankly. It's going to be a tough political balancing act, I think, for her to pull off.
Yeah, and then she admits Benghazi is even more of a reason to run for the presidency. I don't know where she gets that. It sounds like twisted logic to me.
Yeah, that's something that's kind of had me scratching my head a little bit, too, after I heard her say that. I assume that what she means is, you know, she kind of, the Republicans, you know, Tea Party Republicans, I guess, in her mind, that are sort of leading the charge on Benghazi and trying to drag her down and keep this story out there front and center for the American people. I guess she looks at it as those people need to be defeated or need to be, you know, kept in their place, if you will. And so the country needs to elect another Democrat as president of the United States and not let these crazy Republicans, in their view, you know, take over the White House and take control of the Senate. So, I mean, that's the only explanation that I can figure out for what she's talking about because, I mean, frankly, as you said, Andy, you know, what other rationale could there be for making a statement like that? The fact that there was a terrorist attack in Benghazi that killed four Americans is more of a reason for you to run for president? That doesn't make a lot of sense.
No. And just to be clear, yesterday was considered the start of her campaign as well as the book tour?
That's how a lot of folks are looking at it.
Yeah.
Now, of course, she says that she's not going to make a decision until after the midterm elections. You know, I mean, at this point, I can't imagine. I mean, wouldn't it be more of a shock to you and I think to everybody else if she would come out and say that she's not running for president? I mean, she's launched this book, going out on this book tour, talking about Benghazi, talking about her history, you know, with her husband in the White House. Sort of wonder, it seems like this is all laying the groundwork for her to run for president. If she were to decide not to run, I think that would come as more, it would come as quite a shock to everybody. But I guess it remains to be seen, you know, she sees how the political environment, you know, plays out for the rest of this year.
Yeah. Hey, I noticed some bookstores have dropped the price of the book by 40%. Is that an attempt to drive the book to number one? Because it's been hanging right in at number two, if I understand correctly.
You know, I've heard that as well, and I don't have any particular inside information on that. But that would seem to be the only explanation, right? I mean, if a book just comes out of this magnitude that everybody presumably wants to read and is going to be a bestseller, you don't usually drop the price by 40% in the first couple days that the book is out on shelves. So, yeah, I mean, I think obviously for the Clintons, they want to see this book be, you know, number one on the bestseller list. So, if they have to talk to some bookstore managers behind the scenes and going to drop the price, I think that's probably okay there.
All right. What's the president have on schedule for the remainder of the week? Do you know?
Well, the president today is going to be traveling to Massachusetts, and ironically, this is something you and I have talked about before. He conveniently is going to be speaking at a high school commencement in Worcester, Massachusetts, and then is going to be attending a Democratic Party fundraiser, conveniently a couple of hours later in the same area. So it just so happens that there's a fundraiser scheduled in the area where he's going to be delivering a high school commencement address. Of course, we've never seen that before.
No, not at all. And can we assume there's a Starbucks nearby in case he gets the urge?
You know, I'll tell you, that was something else. I was on pool duty for the White House press corps on Monday, and usually we're kind of given a heads up when the president's going to be moving or when we're going to be making some kind of unscheduled movement. And, you know, the president and chief of staff, Dennis McDonough, were already out the White House gate before they told us that he was going anywhere.
Wow.
So, you know, in theory, I'm supposed to be there with the president to see what he does on the walk to Starbucks, what he does or says when he gets inside of the Starbucks. Didn't get any of that. He was completely off the radar for those 10, 15 minutes, whatever it was, you know, with nobody in the press keeping an eye on him. So that's riled the press corps in the White House yet again, who all, you know, already is frankly pretty ticked off at the lack of access that we get with this administration. And what we saw on Monday, it is a little bit humorous, but, I mean, it also it has a more serious side because, you know, who knows what could have happened in those 10 or 15 minutes when nobody from the press was watching the president when he was out walking around essentially unprotected except for a few Secret Service agents walking with him in the streets of downtown D.C. So it's a pretty serious matter, and the administration is going to continue to take a lot of heat for it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of a serious matter, any comment yet out of the White House regarding the Eric Cantor defeat last night in the Virginia primary, or is that something we should expect later today?
I think we should expect that later today. There's going to be a press briefing on Air Force One when the president's on his way to Massachusetts here in just a couple of hours. So I certainly expect that's going to be one of the questions that comes up. Now, you know, as you well know, and you and I have talked about before, there's no love lost between the president and Eric Cantor.
Yeah.
They've had their share, you know, of blow-ups inside the White House, particularly over the debt ceiling deal a few years ago. So, I don't think that the administration is going to take a victory lap with Eric Cantor's defeat yesterday, but certainly behind the scenes, if you talk to White House officials off the record, I think they're probably pretty happy about what we saw last night.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ben, as always, thanks for your help. We'll talk again.
Thanks, Eddie.
Ben Wolfgang, White House reporter here at the Washington Times. 1252, 1260 WRC. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. I'll be right back.